Welcome back to Discourse, the weekly occult and esoteric podcast hosted by myself, Abamon the Great, and Dr. Anna Stone. This week we plunge into the mysteries of the Holy Guardian Angel, that elusive and infamous presence so often whispered about in magical circles. From its classical identity as the personal daimon to its modern interpretations, we share what we've learned about what seems to be a nearly universal phenomenon. So breathe in, young magus, and let the work begin. Okay, welcome back to Discourse. I am your host, Abamon the Great, and I am joined, as always, by the lovely Dr. Anna Stone.
Hi.
Hi, you are glowing right now.
Am I?
Yeah, you've been glowing since you wrapped up your
really?
Thing a little while. Yeah, it's like your vibe's completely different. It's weird.
Is it good?
No, it is good.
Okay.
It's like you're glowing, yeah. But anyways, this week we are going to be talking about, I guess... The clickbait is HGA,
right.
Holy Guardian Angel, but, you know, we call it something else.
Yeah, anyways. A lot of people do, though, I think.
Yeah, I think historically it was called something else.
Right, but, I think most well-versed people that are, you know, into this path are going to find that after a while they realize that it's a multitude of things. It's more than one thing, you know?
Yeah. So we actually already did this episode back in, I think, January.
I don't know.
It was like...
No idea.
It was the week before we moved.
Oh,
and
was it?
Yeah, I didn't upload it or publish it or anything because I thought it would be cool to redo it in our new space.
Yeah.
And then it was like, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
I just didn't end up releasing it or whatever. But... Anyways, yeah, so the HGA, Holy Guardian Angel, or in the classical world, it's the personal daimon.
Yeah.
The guardian daimon.
Mm-hmm.
The guardian spirit. In theosophy, it would be called the higher self, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the HGA, the guardian angel thing always kind of put me off.
Yeah.
You know, because religious trauma.
Yeah.
So... it was never interesting. Like, I never wanted to mess with it because of that connotation when I was younger, like when I was still learning a lot, you know, about how things are worded and what they actually mean, you know?
Yeah.
So, little did I know.
Yeah. You know? So the HGA is like, that's the occult term, but Christianity obviously calls it the guardian angel.
Right.
So the occult term is holy guardian angel, and it comes from the book of Abramelin the Mage, which was a favorite of Samuel Mather's, and he introduced it to Aleister Crowley, and that became kind of the focal point of Thelema. And
like, that's how everybody knows about it.
Yes, basically. So when we're talking about, usually when you say HGA, you're saying HGA because... talking about it within its occult connotation, especially 19th century connotation, which is kind of differentiated as in the technique towards getting access to it, but really, you know, because in the Christian sense of it, at least surface level Christianity, it's just there. You're not doing anything to really talk to it. Maybe, lighting one of those Mexican candles.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm trying to think. So, like, in the church that I grew up in, even angels were, like, off limits.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy to me.
Like, Southern Baptist was like, if it ain't God, it's the devil.
But don't they get, like, possessed by the Holy Spirit?
That's God.
Like,
that's the Holy Spirit.
That's God?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that looks like
possession.
Some pagan shit to me.
Sure does. Yeah. Oh, my God. Snakes and shit.
Yeah, like, exactly. They're, like, waving snakes around in a cave. Like, that's some, like, definition of Greek pagan shit, you know?
No, it's some, and then they die.
Babbling in tongues,
Speaking in tongues, That's Pentecostal, but, like, I used to go to a Pentecostal. It was amazingly fun.
It was fun?
Yes. Yeah. Like, we would have sleepovers in the church. And as kids, we would hide and see. It was awesome. But, like, and then the people were crazy. Like, they were, like, speaking in tongues and, like, just blah, blah, blah. I was like, whoa, you're crazy. Like, I mean, I get it. They're ecstatic. That's where they're at. They're at that state. I mean, yeah, how fun.
But you can't talk to angels.
You can't talk to angels. No,
that's
like, no, like that was, bullshit, man. That was like, you know, yeah, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if it's the devil. Like, I mean, I'm serious. Everything was the devil.
Yeah.
So yeah, no. So angels like just seemed cheesy to me. Right. Like just this, like, I don't know, Hollywood version of it. Right. So I didn't really have a concept of that.
Like in, that movie, is it a Kevin Smith movie, Dogma?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Yeah, I love that movie.
Wow, that was a flashback. All right. Yeah.
I love Kevin Smith.
I love that you... Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'm a huge Kevin Smith fanboy.
I know, which is like, because you know, I don't know. That's like...
His humor is just like the right type of like dumb for me.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not the dumbest dumb, but it's, no, like, it's like intermediary dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
The intermediary dumb. But yeah. But like I started to learn really quickly that within the circles of like lodges and such, that's a big thing. So what, when I got into the Masons, right? Yeah. Eastern Star.
Uh-huh.
That was right away one of the texts, like something, you know, one of the texts they gave me to read over. And I was just like, oh, and then I started hearing more about it, you know, I've never practiced with other people. So I was like totally solo and a loner. didn't know anybody else really did other stuff. So I didn't have anyone to compare to.
Yeah.
And so I started seeing it really frequently here in Los Angeles. Never heard about it before then, except for in books, you know, when I was younger reading books from the library. But when I moved to LA, it's everywhere. And I still didn't get quite what it was about, you know, like why everyone was freaking out about it.
And it's it's the obsession of occultists and esotericists. Well, I honestly think it's a product of the 19th century.
Yeah.
Because literally the point of those orders, it's like you know, you're learning this entire system and stuff just for that like peak experience of, you know, getting knowledge and conversation with the Holy Guardian Angel. And really, I feel like that is a beginning threshold, right? Yeah. I feel like the journey has just begun once you got there.
I mean, yes.
Definitely. Because that's when it starts taking you on a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is strange how that happens.
Yeah.
It's like, and you get little glimpses of it ahead of time too.
Yes.
It'll pop up and
you do.
Like how I'm describing now, like how I didn't really think much of it. And then like it showed up again and brought to my attention at some point. And then again, like in a book, you know, first. And then first it was in a book when I was probably like 13, 14. And then it was here in LA, like, you know, when in my early 20s. Then again in my early 30s. And then again in my 40s. And I'm like, all right, what's this about, you know? But yeah, they're all like all of the lodges and the orders are definitely about this. So, but I believe that most neophytes, whatever, would be under the impression that it was an separate entity, right? Is that what they teach? Oh, I'm not sure. It's like a separate entity that you're trying to contact it and you may or may not be successful because it may or may not grant you access or something.
Yeah. So it depends on, like what level of magic you're at, right? So I guess very beginning neophyte magic, you don't know what it means when you're reading these books and they say that you see this thing, right? They don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily register to somebody in the entry levels that it's not like that movie A Dark Song where there's a thing that...
Let's talk about that. Yeah, like that movie.
That movie's awesome. I love that movie.
So we watched that movie on a date, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I show everybody that movie.
Yeah, oh, thanks.
It's my favorite.
I feel so special
movie.
Now.
Sorry. Yeah. It's like one of my favorite occult movies.
We watched it. I kind of watched it, but
kind of watched it. Yeah, that movie's a masterpiece. It's so good.
I fell asleep.
It's a slow burn. I love slow burn horror though.
Yeah, it was like 3 a.m.
I like all horror, but
I know. We watched it and that was a pretty dramatic movie. Like, I mean,
It's a great movie. Like, really, I think it's the most accurate portrayal of occultism I've ever seen in media.
Right.
Except for the end, you know, where there's a giant, you know,
thing. St. Michael room. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
A giant version, like Jack and the Beanstalk style.
Well, obviously you have to do that because it's a movie, But yeah. I love like the whole buildup of it where there's all like the things that they're like, you know,
yeah,
like you're kind of like, wait, is something happening? Yeah. Or whatever. My favorite scene in the movie is when they're in a dark room and there's like a shadow sitting in the chair, yeah, and she can't quite make out if there's somebody there or something. And then all of a sudden there's like a burning cigarette like right there. And it's like, oh man, that's like, oh, I'm getting chills just thinking about
that's
how
what,
like,
yeah, oh, dude, that's like, that's, yeah,
yeah, like, it's so like, oh yep, that's what magic looks like for sure,
yeah, you know? Yeah. After they've been up for 10 days,
yeah, exactly. And
100%. Sleep deprivation, psychosis, yeah.
Or like the bird flies into the window, she's like, how do you know if it's working, and he's like points at the bird or whatever,
yeah.
I don't know, that's a great movie.
I mean, that is okay, so the bird scene is definitely something that literally is like happened to me before, yeah, like yeah, that kind of shit where it's just like, what, except for mine didn't die, it flew in the window, like, yeah, inside, and it was fine.
Yeah.
But that was like, I took that as a random coincidence. Like, I didn't really, that's not my proof for me that it's working, yeah, you know, spells. But the movies seem to think so. Like, that would be a synchronicity, a coincidence, a omen, right?
Yes, yes.
But you're... Okay, so
a synchronicity or coincidence, I want to say it might be Skinner. It's somebody, one of the occult authors. He says that the difference between, you know, a regular person, but the way that a regular person thinks of magic is like, I'm gonna cast a spell to hurl a rock at you,
yeah,
and like a normal person's going to like imagine that the rock is like comes off the ground and is hurled at, yeah, like with the wand. Whereas like to the magician, like a bird's flying by and falls onto a boy with a bike and the boy is holding the rock and the rock falls and it hits, yeah, the person, and then the magician takes credit for it. Like, yeah, I did that, you,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of, yeah, that's the convoluted way in which you think. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. You do magic.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I was going to say is, yeah, like when we're talking about like the people that are new into practice, because I feel like there's an undercurrent of danger here for some reason with it.
With the, like, with, mm-hmm, the,
like with the ceremony, with this ritual. I feel like there's this undercurrent of fear, like, or possible danger for it. Like,
yeah,
the process of me, like, of going through it, right? Because it's talked about so, like, hush hush.
Well, yes.
And serious, you know, level of seriousness around it. Like, just that movie, like, was so serious.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the issue. Well, I mean, that's
it's a
with
movie,
the mythology, like, of Crowley. So when Crowley, right, went to go perform the Abramelin,
right,
rite, which, uh-huh, was the rite that the Golden Dawn held up, like, this is how you get in contact with the HGA.
Yeah.
When he went to go perform it, he did it at Loch Ness.
Yeah, but he didn't finish it, right?
But he didn't finish it. He didn't end up finishing the ritual. And then there's like the mythology that the house is, you know, there's demons in it ever
since.
Why
would there be demons in it if you contacted your guardian angel?
Well, because it's Crowley. You know, he made everything so extremely convoluted that, yeah, it's his ways of accessing and doing magic are so ridiculously convoluted that, you know, he's like opening up stuff that he doesn't need to be opening up.
Right.
So his Liber, his Abramelin rite, mm-hmm, is called Liber Samech, mm-hmm, right? And that's the one that if a Thelemite, it wants to get in contact with the HGA, but they don't want to do the Abramelin, which is a 9 to 18 month operation, depending on what you're doing. Yes.
I'm sorry. It's
very long.
9 to 18 months.
Yes.
Why?
That's how it is. Yeah.
Really?
It's a long ritual. Yeah, you're supposed to be in isolation.
So
you're doing
you
prayer
don't,
every
like,
day.
This is for people that have never already met with that entity, right?
Yeah. Okay. So this, it comes, the Abramelin rite is the, like, penultimate HGA ritual. And it comes from, I think, like, 15th century Germany or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was discovered by Samuel Mathers. This book, this grimoire that had been written, and it details a man that goes down to Egypt and he learns the book of Abramelin. There's a bunch of spells in it, but, mm-hmm, one of the biggest ones is getting into contact with the Holy Guardian Angel. It's a long operation. Depending on what edition of it you're reading, it's either 9 months to 18 months that it takes to perform the rite. But apparently, that's Abraham of Worms. he went down to Egypt and he learned this ritual from some kind of like hermit magician down in Egypt and brought it back to Germany or whatever. Okay. So that's where the Abremelin comes from. Samuel Mathers discovers it and he's like, wow, this is an epic. Oh my God. Like 8-9 month ritual. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
And so that became like preparing for that ritual became one of the focal points of those 19th century magical orders. Yeah. Of course, Crowley, he like, you know, his syncretism, he infuses it with the Bornless Rite, which is originally a PGM spell, in Liber Samech. Yeah. And it's basically supposed to be like, if you don't want to do the 9 to 18 month, you can perform the Liber Samech to get in contact with it. So the way that like most modern magicians, when they do the Abremelin, they don't do the thing where you go buy the house and live a night, buy the house with the windows facing the east and, you know, spend 9 to 18 months in isolation. They do a kind of like modernized version of the Abremelin where they're just like kind of like praying every day, spending like an hour a day by themselves in seclusion, like that kind of thing.
I mean, it just seems... Because interesting to me, you know.
Well, so that's the thing. So most occultists are familiar with the HGA. And I told myself I wasn't going to do that because I felt like it was a merit badge.
Right.
You know?
No,
right.
No,
I was like, I'm
yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't care about the HGA.
Yeah, everyone's doing it.
I'm not gonna do it. Yeah. Everybody else is doing it. I don't need to do it. That kind of stuff. So my contact was, you know, not intentional. It came to me whether I liked it or not. But the thing is, a lot of people's only exposures through the 19th century, like things. So they think they have to do these huge convoluted rituals. Socrates was in contact with his HGA. Iamblichus talks about the HGA. Abraham Abulafia talks about the HGA. Like, it's all over the historical record. You can find an HGA ritual in the Picatrix, but they call it a different thing. They call it a personal daemon, guardian daemon, kind of thing.
And it's...
Agrippa has a method for calculating it. That's actually the method that I used for mine. And it's funny because Iamblichus, he states that... So calculating the HGA using an astrological chart was something that was really popular in the Hellenistic world. And Iamblichus was... adamantly against it. He said that there's no way that you can calculate it with an astrological chart. And he says specifically in the Theurgia that the invocatory method, the proper invocation of the personal daimon will come to you. It's dependent on each single person. It's a very personal procedure and it is given to you by the guardian daimon.
Right. Okay.
And so he argued that there's no way you can calculate it from an astrological chart, right? Well, like, you know, getting in contact with mine, there was a series of circumstances that led, synchronicities that led a bunch of different material in my hands.
Yeah.
And it was pointed like, hey, you need to do this right now.
Yeah.
And I so I used the Agrippa method, you know, against what, you know, there's a lot of people out there that say you can't use this method. It's not going to work.
Stop.
And so
then don't use it.
I used the Agrippa method, calculated the name, and I did a very quick, short conjuration, and
it worked.
It came, and silly me, you know, I conjured this thing. I designed this like quick ritual and everything using this method to conjure my guardian daemon, and then ask him for the right conjuration method.
Yeah.
And he was like,
I remember now. And yes, this is funny.
It's like,
what? What are you talking about?
It's like, I quoted Iamblichus at him. I was like, and so Iamblichus says that, like, you're the only one that can give me the proper invocation method. And he was like, are you not talking to me right now? I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So it was like handed, there was a very personal way that utilizing the Agrippa method and like a system of conjuration that's been handed down to me, that I was able to get in touch with mine without having to do an Abremelin or a Liber Samech.
I don't think
yeah.
I don't know because I just, this is not necessary for me. Right. I mean, it was necessary to confirm that it wasn't necessary. Right.
Yeah.
Cause we did the same thing for mine.
Well, you were already in touch with yours,
I
though.
I know. Yeah. So, I mean, but I didn't
You just
know.
Didn't realize it. Yeah.
I did not realize. You said you realized that.
I realized it a long time. It's on one of our podcast episodes. I say to you in one of our early episodes, because you're talking about the thing that you're always talking to. Yeah. And like, on one of our episodes, I look to you and I tell you, I was like, you know, like every time you talk about that, I was like, I've never told you before, but have you ever considered that like there's this thing that occultists are constantly trying to have knowledge and conversation with? It's called a holy guardian angel. Have you ever considered maybe that's what you,
what you are talking to all the time? Yeah. What did I say?
I can't remember like, what you said. You're just like, what? Like, you know.
What is
it? So the way that you describe it, so this thing that you've been talking to.
You started
talking to it. Or like you actually met it during your near-death experience,
right? I met
it
twice.
Yeah.
When I was 13 on Datura.
Yeah.
Don't do it. And she was like scolding me in the mirror, like telling me that I looked silly with my hair. I had been dyed black. It looked terrible. She was like 35, you know, but me, like it was clearly me, but like grown up. And scared the shit out of me. It scared the shit out of me. Like I threw a washcloth at it, at the mirror and ran out of the bathroom. I was like fucking terrified. I was also on Datura. So I thought that's a hallucination, right? Like obviously, okay. Then fast forward to 2016 when I died, I saw the same person again. Like that's who I met. And I was like, oh. And, but I still, even after that, did not realize that the voice in my head and sometimes outside of my head was that until recently. Yeah. Even after that, it took me probably 4 years after my near death to even put together the fact that I had seen her before when I was 13.
Yeah.
I hadn't for some reason been able to connect those two things. And then I was like, oh my God, it's the same person. Like, holy shit. And that made me go, oh, it wasn't just a hallucination, you know? But yeah, like it wasn't until you said that, but I didn't really pay attention to that either. But then later, like what, 6 months later, whatever it was, then we did that. And like, yeah. So it's weird for me because like seeing this amount of time, like, I mean, I don't know if this is trying to mimic like the trauma people go through or something that would open them up to being able to talk to this all the time, like every day, all day, you know, like if that's what this process is for.
It's, so I don't know. This was a concept that I was talking to somebody about yesterday. So there is kind of a belief that floats around amongst certain class of magicians that the reason that Western magicians need their rituals and their magic circles and symbols is because they don't have the energetic work of the East, right? And so they have to create the energetic work, the energy through ritual, because they don't have the, like, they're not doing yoga.
They don't know how to channel their chi.
Exactly. And so, I mean, there could be a concept in that. I'm saying if you put 9 to 18 months to any ritual, something's probably going to happen, right?
I mean, however, sure, yeah.
But yeah, but I think the reason, I mean, for me personally, I spent, I never wanted to do the HGA, right?
Me neither.
I was like, that's just not interested in it.
I think it's because we already were in contact with them.
Well, no. So what I'm saying is that I hit a threshold in my magic that, like, whether I was going to try or not,
it
was going to come to me anyways.
Yeah, it seems like that's what happens on this journey, doesn't it? Seems like, again, we get little glimpses of it in the past. Like, you know, we start to hear about it and we have a reaction to it.
So I think that because that's one of the common things you're going to see it. So one of the interesting things about the HGA, the guardian angel, the personal daimon or whatever, they're going to find in all of the literature is that it... everybody talks about how when it's the right time and the right way, it'll teach you how to get in contact with
right.
it.
And that could be as simple as just talking to yourself and then someone saying, hey, you think you might be talking to that, and then having to realize that maybe that's it, or like what you did, or you got a method handed to you, or you know, whatever went down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so then, okay. So if we both did this and it worked, right? I mean, we didn't do this ceremony ritual, but we got in contact with it.
Yeah.
Do you think that, this is something that is completely separate from you, or is it your higher self, or is it, you know, like, is it a completely separate entity, meaning like not your higher self, not, you know, part of your psyche in any way. Right. Do you think that it's that, or is it that and part of you as well?
That's really, really difficult. The way that I think about it is that thing that comes out there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at the end of it, or it's at the end of it. It's hard. So it's hard for me to talk about this because I can't say too much.
Okay, sorry.
But I guess within this is the mystery of Metatron and the divine name Ea.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, when Moses spoke to the burning bush, Ea Asher Ea. This is all intrinsically related.
Oh yeah.
So it is me, but it is separate, and then different incarnations are it is the constant between incarnations.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's a great way to put it. So it's like it's the baseline.
I just, you know, this is
it's like the thing that can link you if you let it. Right? It's, all of the stuff you already know.
Yeah.
It's, it's what it is.
There's a lot of really heavy shit packed into what this thing is. I mean, I still don't know exactly what it is, but I have very...
It's all the things that you're thinking about, and then all the things you're not thinking about. It's everything.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing. Like, because when I died, I realized, like, I was able to see that how everything's connected and made perfect sense, and but I can't say it in words, right?
This
is one of those things.
I'm at a, because I keep getting hammered by this thing. There's certain things that I can't talk about now. I have to keep silent on certain stuff.
Yeah,
because I don't want it to impede on somebody else's journey.
Right.
But I think, you know, one of the interesting things when you're creating a golem in Kabbalah, right? You are visualizing, you are creating a golem in Kabbalah, or you're trying to get in contact with God using Kabbalah or whatever.
Right.
And you're constructing a kind of like body of light out of the alphabet in front of you using a series of permutations. And know thyself becomes behold thyself.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
I love that so much because that is the hardest thing to do, right? Think about it. What is the hard, like one of the hardest, like karmic or whatever lessons is to like love yourself, right? But what's the step before behold yourself, right? It's that.
So know it's thyself.
Know thyself, love thyself, then behold thyself.
Yeah, behold thyself. And that's that in there is. So the Kabbalists will never call it a personal daemon or a holy guardian angel. They'll call it a golem, or they'll call it like a mirror or something like that. But it's everybody's talking about the same thing. And I think that's one of the craziest things to me about the guardian.
Yeah.
Is it is such a it is within basically all mystic literature, classical literature. It is such an important part of Western spirituality and Western religion, without being front and center, right?
Right.
You talk to like your average religious person, it's not even on their radar.
No.
But this is
because it's off limits. See?
It's off limits. But it's everywhere.
But it's off. So
you see it everywhere.
Think about this. Like, the church is always keeping us from the knowledge that we are, it is us, right? That doesn't work for them. Like, they can't manipulate and conquer the world that way. So, you know, this is one of those things where they keep it separate. That's why you don't talk to angels. Like, you can pray to them, but they can't talk back to you. You know, like in a lot of religions, it's like, no, you can't, you know? So that's a mechanism of control. The mystics had it right. They understood that you don't need an intermediary. Mm. Your intermediary is this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the intermediary, like you said. Yeah. So it's like your baseline. So it's the tree is the source, right? And the branch is this. And then we are the leaves at the end of the branch, right? So
yeah, that's a good way to put it. I like that.
You know, like that. Yeah. So it keeps us, we're separate-ish from the trunk.
Yeah.
Separate-ish from the branch.
Yeah.
But still all connected.
Yeah. And so that's one of the things too. I think within the Catholic Church, they teach that it's, I guess that would it make sense for them to, because the Catholic Church believes in one incarnation, but one of the interesting things about this thing is that it is with you, it is with the soul from its generation. It is with you through every incarnation.
Yeah.
It is the same one. It's not.
Yeah. It's the, it is yours.
The lifetime.
It's like made the same time you're made.
Yeah.
Right. Like, or it is bound to you, but like Abramelin wanted to bind them. Right.
Huh?
Why?
No.
Yeah, in his book, there was binding. He was wanting to get the name of the familiars, which were the spirits that he then bound, right?
Yeah.
So, for what? To call the HGA forward? That why? Is that why?
It's like, well, you have spirit to do, yeah. I mean, if you're, I'm not too familiar with how they were bringing it in, but if you're using regular Solomonic magic, you're binding lesser spirits in order to open up the appeal to the gates, right?
Yeah.
Like the... Okay. To open up the gates.
Yeah. It also says that you can only have mastery over demonic forces after you've had, you know, you're been seen by your HGA, right?
Yeah. I think that's in Liber Samech. It's Crowley's appeal to the HGA is so that he has authority over all spirits, right?
Right.
My personal dealings with mine. It teaches me magic, but it does not.
It doesn't. I feel like it's.
It doesn't
be
give a fuck about.
Yeah.
My dealings with other spirits, you know.
Doesn't no.
It doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's.
It's just, like, this is mild. You should see what you did last time.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. It's like. It's usually not a part of my
actually,
when I'm dealing with other spirits.
I just got a flashback memory there of being told you were early.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just got that flashback. Sorry.
Not early enough. The other guy was 31.
Oh my God. You're
tripping.
Early. You're early. You stop it. That's okay. Think of the lifetime back then. Okay.
Yeah.
Think of the conditions. Okay. This person was 80 or 90 because of that. Like, because of the harsh living conditions and stuff, dude, there's no way the same, like he was old.
Yeah.
Like even though chronologically, even back then, that's like ancient, you know, so give yourself a break. I think that this is, I mean, how many people that you know have tried this and been successful?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't.
I mean, Crowley couldn't do it. So
what, the Abramelin?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of contemporary occultists that pull off their Abramelin. But like I said, they do like a very modern version of it where they still like go to work and see their family and that kind of stuff.
They kind of have to.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know a single person that has actually gone into seclusion for 9 to 18 months.
I mean, that's,
but
that's not,
I also don't think, I also think that, it's very, you know, it happens at the right time. It doesn't matter if you do it or not. And I think that most, I'm, think, you know, there's a lot of new agers running around talking about speaking to their higher self, and it's like, you know, these guys got no problem doing it. Why is this Thelemite spending 10 years trying to get in touch with it?
I'm trying to be nice here, but like, the reason I'm asking this is because it's like, is this really fucking necessary? Like, I don't think so. Like,
I think that specifically is a benchmark or a waypoint or something. And it was because it was built into the 19th century magical orders, you know?
Yeah. I mean, because I feel like there's, you know, I feel like, okay, so I was thinking about this, like the difference between somebody that's really new in the practice, how they wouldn't be able to actually be successful at it because they don't have enough knowledge. And when I say knowledge, I don't mean knowledge about like texts. I mean, inner knowledge, like about themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And to be able to kind of suspend all of the rationale and to just let yourself accept what's being shown to you or being told to you.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. So a lot of them are, you know, a lot of people, even if they think they're ready, they're not, because like we all gaslight ourselves at times. Right. Like,
yeah.
And I think that that's probably why it's not successful. I think the 9 to 18 months is insane. Because
that's pretty intense asceticism. Like, something dramatic is going to happen.
It better fucking work.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to pull that off to the dot, like, yeah, that's some pretty bad. Is it necessary to get knowledge and conversation with this thing? I don't think so.
No, that's what I mean. Like, so there's,
pick of a tome and it's got a spell for it. It's just using a different name. It's not HGA. It's not Holy Guardian Angel, right? Like, I think one of my favorite HGA spells comes from the PGM, and I've always wanted to do this right. I call it the Falcon Rite, and I can never remember the exact number, but it is like one of the wildest spells I've seen ever.
Is it the bird servant one on the roof?
Yes, the bird on the roof.
Yeah, you gotta stay overnight on the roof.
You gotta stay overnight on the roof. If you have to behead a falcon, like wave it at the sun as it's rising or something. And then like another falcon's gonna come, it's gonna drop a rock. And then you gotta go get the rock and you gotta protect it. And then you gotta go down into your like little cabin that you were on the roof of all night. And inside the cabin, like you have a young boy medium, you know, like
that you're gonna
use as a medium, and then the angel's gonna come to the door, and the boy's gonna let him in and wash his feet or something. It's like one of the craziest.
So I feel like what happened there is that somebody drank too much or did some drugs and like went up on the roof and people couldn't get him down, and that shit happened. Like they hallucinated happened.
Some ancient like. Yep. It's some Egyptian, like Roman Egyptian guy. He's like, spun out on acacia DMT whatever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's like just because, I mean.
He like kidnapped the neighbor's kid.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. And he's just trying to justify it now.
It's like, I saw an angel. Like,
yeah, yeah. It wasn't bad. I didn't really kidnap him. The angel helped out. Like, oh my God. Yeah. I feel like.
There are angels and falcons.
Yeah. Don't mind the beheaded one. I don't know how that got there. Seriously though, I think like the more we talk about this stuff, the more I'm like convinced that spell books are pointless, because when you're reading these rituals that people wrote, they're just writing what worked for them.
Yeah.
And it's like, so that guy, you know, murdered a bird and like had another bird attacking for it, you know?
Yeah.
And then probably kidnapped the neighbor's kid. Yeah, you're right. There's probably all that stuff. And anyway, if it worked for him, great.
Seems
really, really criminal want. And like
seems like a sick ritual to me, you know.
Seems get a falcon first of all. Okay.
Yeah, I know, I can't do that.
Yeah,
I would get in so much trouble for doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, but that's not good.
Like, because they're protected, they're endangered. The only time you can get them is if you're like falconeering. But imagine like is that what they're called?
Falconeers?
They're falconers, but like if you're. Okay. What's the...
I don't know.
It's falconeering?
Are you sure?
Falconing? I don't know. But yeah, they're like $900 birds. And like you have
$900,
like a permit or a license in order to be like one of those guys that goes to middle schools with a falcon, you know?
At a van.
And a van. we found the guy from the PGM. We found him. It's the middle school. It's the guy that goes to middle school with the Falcon. Yeah. That's the guy that wrote the spell.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. Yeah. We cracked the code.
You remember that guy, the leather glove. That was like,
the leather glove.
Looking terrified of that thing. Like, oh, it won't hurt you.
It's like, boys, I discovered the secret for immortality.
Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah. Like, oh, was it Falcon tears?
Yeah.
Like,
Anyways. Gross. So, yeah. It's very, very difficult to acquire Falcon. And also, it's kind of like sad, like, if you're going to, you know, slaughter one of these birds that's been groomed and trained.
Because
they're so smart.
Yeah. I love birds. Like, I want a corvid.
But you love birds?
No.
That's weird. That's like the, yeah, exactly.
No, I love a raven. That's like the one
part of the animal kingdom I do not mess with.
Crows. I want a crow. They're badass.
Birds are horrible.
Yeah, they're not.
They're the meanest.
I love how they sound. I love crows.
They're terrible.
What?
Terrible. Do not like birds.
Have you had a bird?
No.
Okay.
There's a reason.
Okay.
My grandpa had birds, and that was a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They attack you?
Yeah. He was like a crazy bird guy. He like...
I think all men become crazy bird men.
When they're grandpas or something?
Yes, dude. And my dad did, too. His garage was just
full of birds.
childhood trauma.
Man, if
right
only
now.
I did magic back then, I would have been set, you know?
Yeah. What would you have done? Would you have them talking to you or what?
What?
The birds, or would you have them all?
No, I just have
like,
a supply of birds for,
oh, for murdering?
Ancient Egyptian spells. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's a good idea. But also, I think that, again, that ritual that you're describing reminds me of the invisibility spell.
Yeah, the visibility spell was from the Abramelin, though, right?
No, it was PGM also.
The invisibility one?
Yeah.
I thought you said it was a new translation of the Abramelin.
You're right, right. Yeah, it was the book. Yeah, the missing book from Abramelin. Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing spell, that one. That one would absolutely work.
Ew. Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that is that this crazy person talking, writing that stuff down, and like that's what crazy people do, is they wave their shoe at you, and just like they wave a decapitated bird at the sun on the roof of the house with the neighbors loving you. No, people seem to go out of their way in great length there to and great theater to facilitate this conversation or meeting. But I'm under the impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, which I know you will, is that you will, because you know it, because you know the answer to this question, and I don't, that's why I'm asking it. Is like, now I forgot what I was gonna say. I forgot. Okay, it's cool. No, seriously though, this is a I'm under the impression that this is only supposed to be a once, like a one-off, right? Or is it supposed to be a continued conversation?
Well, I think it's it's a baby becoming aware of their reflection in the mirror, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you spend the first year as a baby, and you like you just do not, you know, like what's a mirror, what's a reflection, and then you develop the awareness. And now, for the rest of your life, you can look in the mirror and
you know
see the
what?
Baby.
You know, that's interesting.
Or see yourself as the baby.
That was deep.
That was deep.
Yeah. That caught me off guard. Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just full of gnosis,
I know,
man.
Yeah. You're, no, like, that's a good analogy. Like, the baby, like, looking in the mirror, not knowing what it is. Have no concept of, like you just said, reflection or mirror, and then looking at it, and then because of the looking at it, begins to grasp it, what it is, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly how all this shit is. It's like it's like translated, it's conveyed to you in ways other than just words and language, right? Because that's not something that you can talk about, like this concept.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's
like
very
how you
hard.
Describe
and
it.
That's why, and that's why if you just try to blatantly, like flat out, like, tell someone, like, you know, like sometimes you have to dance around stuff, because if you blatantly flat out tell somebody, it just sounds so not.
It doesn't do justice.
Like, yeah, it doesn't. And it ruins the experience of realizing it for yourself, which is when you realize it, it's incredibly profound. And then you're just like in this state of awareness of like this thing. And like, honestly, like, you know, what's the, me and you, we spend most of our time fighting with the damn thing, right? Like arguing with it.
Yeah, you know? You did.
Oh, yeah.
You were arguing with it.
Yeah.
I argue with it all the time, all day yeah. long when I'm talking to myself.
It can be pretty obnoxious.
Mine's you know? Hella obnoxious.
Yeah.
Hella yeah. obnoxious. So I talk to myself and
it does
argue.
Not have my human interest.
No, it does not care about mind, your humanity. Okay?
I am still a human.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not.
God dang it. You know?
So they're like us, but the inverse of us almost, right? Like it's yeah. like the, obviously never been here.
Yeah.
Never under, like they don't understand people.
It does not have my best human interests at heart.
No, and probably
it,
not.
That irritates
because it looks
me.
At a bigger picture than that.
It does.
So I wonder, like, if
and it's, that's why it's frustrated with me because yeah. I want to mess around with human crap, you know? Yeah,
it's weird.
And I get frustrated with it because it want
doesn't want you to
wants
do
me to go do live in a freaking cave for yeah, 30 yeah, years, yeah. you know?
No,
and I'm like, no, not. It's like that's not what I'm here to do. You know, I want to cash some checks, my guy. How about you help me out with that?
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll talk about the cave.
Yeah.
You know?
Could it be a mansion cave? On the hillside overlooking the ocean? That's great.
In Laguna Beach.
Yeah. 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 Down, man. Yeah. Down.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. I'll be the
wizard on the hill. The
Arabic cave wizard of Laguna Beach.
That's not Arabic yeah. or in a cave. Yes.
Yeah. No, but I'm in there chanting Arabic.
You can have a cave made inside the house.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with an escape route and so you could leave yeah. without people knowing you left. They think you're in there for 30 years.
There's
so.
Like some Laguna Beach people. They're like, have you got to see the wizard? Yeah, he's right there at the top of the mountain.
Okay, I think we're gonna go to break.
Yeah, we gotta take
a break. You're killing me, man.
We'll be right back, guys. We're taking a quick break from the Discourse podcast. Check out some further reading on HGA rituals in the Abremelin Operation, Liber Samech, The Perfect Nature from the Picatrix, and Abraham Abulafia's Life in the World to Come. Each offers a different angle on this profound mystery. And now, back to Discourse. All right, welcome back to Discourse. We're back on our episode about the Holy Guardian Angel, the HGA, the personal daimon. So let's talk a little bit about like what, for somebody that hasn't contacted, I mean, what do we learn about this knowledge in conversation or when we have this knowledge in conversation? Is it, for somebody that like hasn't had the experience, you know, how can I get in touch with my HGA or my daimon if it's largely up to, you know,
okay, well,
right time and everything.
I think that most people are not understanding that what that means is that they need to be doing that work that's going to get them ready. Like, I don't, you know, like it's not something, I feel like it's not something that can really be forced. Maybe it can be.
Yeah.
Maybe that 18 months is what it takes to like get you in a space to where you're finally getting it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I don't know. But I feel like a lot of people think it's, I know like a lot of people think it's dangerous. Like I've heard that so many times. I'm not sure why they think it's dangerous.
Well, I think if you're doing the Solomonic ceremonial route where you're like opening up gates and,
oh,
and
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Oh, there you go. That's fine.
But
yeah.
really, I think what we learn when we come into knowledge and conversation with it, and especially like moving forward to where we're operating in our lives and we're staying in touch with it, like on our day to day. It's like we learn that it's that gut reaction. It's that intuitive faculty. It's this synchronicity, right?
Right. I mean,
that's it talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you open up a book and something rings a bell, right. You know, just the first line you read.
Like, I mean, there's so many times, like, I think right after that, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, I think right after that or right before that, when we did ours, I had a dream about a book, a name of a book.
Oh, yeah.
I had it wrong, you know. It sounded like a movie. It sounded like a movie I was vaguely familiar with, never seen. Like, but it was some kind of, you know, the word sounded like semi-familiar, but not quite. And that, the closest thing I could relate it to is this title of this movie or something, right?
Yeah.
And I woke up, and it was about you. I was supposed to tell you this book, get you this book. It's for your birthday or Christmas. I remember. And I, or just for whatever reason, I don't know. And then I got up. So clear, vivid. And then I go and I Google search that name that I had wrong, you know, and found it. And there was one copy left available for purchase. And I got it. And yeah. I was like, and then I gave it to you. And you were like, you said that there was something in that book that helped you. There was something in that book that then gave you like some other information you needed, right? Something
yes.
like that. And like
it was that book that got me. That was one of the components in the getting in touch with
right.
with my
right.
personal
so it was right
dialogue.
Before that then, right?
Yeah, it was right yeah. before that.
Yeah. So now knowing what I know since then, that clearly was that's what was going on. You know, it was like getting instructions from my, you know, counterpart over there. Telling me to do a thing and then I work and it ended up being real, you know?
Yeah.
That's a synchronicity, right? That's one of those things. And then you ended up being able to find something in it that you needed at the right time, right? So
yeah. Yeah. There was a bunch of different things that were jumping out at me at different stuff. And it was my Daimon trying to get me to get in touch with
right,
it.
Through right? me. Yeah. Because yeah. so it was a dream for you.
Yeah.
Like, and that was the weird thing is I've never had a dream for somebody else. Like I've always had my own dreams and maybe other people are in them.
Yeah.
But I had a dream for you. It was like the whole point was to tell you and get you this book that I had never heard of before. Of course. And like, and so of course that's, I mean, that's the clearest day possible way to like have it tell you how to get in contact with it.
Yeah.
Is have me have a dream about it and be like, guess what? this yeah. crazy dream and give it to you. Which I'm pretty sure I'm like always thinking that you're thinking I'm insane when I do this. But then it works out.
Yes.
So if it was just nonsense, if it was just, you know, like my own imagination, right? Then that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah.
It couldn't be that accurate all the time. It was just guess, you know, just going off hunches. This is like that part of you that knows everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, and yourself knew well enough to not try to contact you directly because you probably would have, who knows how you would have taken it at the time.
What?
Right? Like if they come, they can't come to you. I mean, they may, maybe they can come to you directly, but yours was sought you out in a different way.
Yeah.
Which will be different than the next person
well,
on this path.
Yeah, right? That's usually how I take direction. So I guess when I'm going through an initiatory experience or I'm taking direction, my favorite method is to just do a kind of passive study to where I'm like ingesting, like I'm following threads of like study or mm-hmm. reading materials, and I'm passively scanning. Or scanning until like something jumps out at me.
Yeah.
And that thing that jumps out and hits my intuitive faculty, like it'll come from one book and then another book will be saying this. And then if you assemble all of that, then it's clear instructions like, dude, yeah. this is the operation you're supposed to be performing.
You just gave me, as you were saying that, I just got this mental picture in my head of a book I need to read.
Yeah.
Right now.
Okay.
I've had it for a long time and I haven't, I started reading it and then I stopped and just right now it just got shoved in my eye, like in my mind's eye, in my face.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, because like one of the frustrations, I guess it's supposed to be when you're in conversation with it, it's part of your life, you know,
I mean,
you shouldn't be using crutches and especially
wait,
with magic.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, there's definitely an expression that my my love for ritual and study is largely unnecessary. And I'm constantly having to, you know, fight back on that and be like, hey, but, you know, I like it. This is what I do, you know? So obviously something that intimately knew me knew, hey, it's probably a good idea to get through to him through the books that.
Through your substrate.
Yeah. My substrate. There you go. That's my substrate. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know better. But that is true.
So I think like for somebody that's trying to get in touch with their daimon, obviously I think the point of Libra Samech and the point of, you know, the Abremelin is that you're making this appeal to the spirit. But there is, you are blocked off because the spirit is always with you. It is always talking to you. You're just, before you have the knowledge and conversation, you're filtered from it, right? And you don't really realize that how it's talking to you or that it's there.
It's not something you can put into words. See, like, so that's the problem. It's like, I can't, when I try to explain to anybody what it's like to have these conversations, saying that I talk to myself is the most dumbed down, watered down, not even the closest thing possible, but nowhere near close. Do you know what I mean? To describing it, right? It is one of those things where it's not, I don't necessarily hear. I see, feel, know, like all of the things all at once. It's weird. Yeah. There's no, I can't describe it. And most of the time, the information that I get also can't be verbalized either. And the best I can do is analogy, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. I think there's a reason for that too.
Uh-huh.
I think that it's supposed to be personal knowledge, right? So whatever you get from this conversation, you're going to get it the way that you understand it.
Yeah. Right?
So however that comes to you, like whether it's like hearing it, just being, seeing it, like, I don't know, you know, whatever way you're going to get it, like the baby looking at the reflection in the mirror, you know, starting to understand. Without words, because they don't have them yet, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's like that. There's this communication between you guys, and you're not going to be able to articulate it to other people properly with the emphasis on it the way that it deserves, right? Because it's not for anyone else. It's for you.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, and again, I think these rituals are great, okay? Like, I wouldn't do it. I don't have that kind of time. But if that's what it takes to get you into that mindset where you can actually accept it and hear it.
So I would say, so I would say like my regimen, if you don't want to do Samech, you don't want to do the Abremelin, my regimen would be to start making honest appeals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like getting your, like in prayer or meditation, right? Mm-hmm. Opening yourself up, getting into a receptive state and making daily honest appeals, like, I want to know you, I want to,
like, show me who I am,
like, that kind of thing, and then start paying attention to synchronicities. It'll start handing you what you need to get that knowledge and conversation, the and the method that's going to work for you, right?
The breadcrumbs will be there, you gotta pick them up, you know, like, you gotta not just step over them,
and dependent on the point where you are in your path, right? Like, let's say you're like a pure neophyte, that breadcrumb trail might take a few years, right? But like when I started getting my breadcrumbs, it happened within a month. It was because I had a decade of the occult behind me and I had been avoiding knowledge and conversation.
I had been.
Because I decided I didn't want to do it.
I know.
It.
Yeah. I know. Because it seems like everyone's doing it. I don't want to do what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
I want to blaze my own
path. I was totally fine like over here conjuring my djinn, you know? I was like.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with no angels. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, it seems like I don't know why. It just seems silly. Like, but then no, because they're not so sweet looking or cute or whatever, right? Huh. They're like kind of scary. Angels are like scary.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I mean, so I had a brief stint with Enochian in my early years of occultism and my experience with the Enochian angels. Like, first of all, I don't believe the Enochian angels are actually angels at all. But even then, put a bad taste in my mouth towards angels. Not because I had any super negative experiences with them, but it was is very one-sided, you know, with angels.
Right. That's what I mean. It's like you don't have like a relationship.
Yeah.
It's like they're protecting you and that's it. They don't give a fuck about you.
They're like bulldozers of agency that just kind of like steamroll anything you're trying to do. You know, because that's kind of the point of contention, I guess, that, you know, the personal daemon can have with people. It's that, you know, if you're too wrapped up in worldly stuff or human stuff, like, it's not going to be much use to you. I think one of the biggest benefits I've got from it is that it has taught me magic. So, well, it like, has literally, handed me, it has handed me magic, like word for word, like, you know,
this is how you do
giving
this.
Me, yeah, giving me choreography and what, like, materials to use.
What
in
if
that
that's
kind
just
of stuff.
You?
Yeah.
You know, what if that's just your, like, higher consciousness channeling through?
Yeah.
You know? And giving you that info. I mean, I think it's both things because, again, like, I'm aware in real life, in real and from firsthand experience, like, that it's the same and it's different.
Yeah.
Both are true. There's like this thing with time and space, right? There's a problem. We experience it this way where we're here in this space right now. So I'm not, you know, I'm not anywhere else right now, right? I'm sitting right here in this chair.
Yeah.
But that's false. It's not accurate. It's what I see with my current iteration. Like in my current iteration, I see myself here, but there are, it's an endless amount of us everywhere in all across all planes. There's no, the time is not linear. We just experience it as such. So it's, you know, it's hard to, you know, to quantify this properly, but it's, yeah, it's, we are literally the same and literally different. Like, there's a whole separate me living a life somewhere doing some other shit right now, but it's still me, even though it's separate, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's both of those things and possibly none of those things. Like, it's because there's this situation of like being existing out time outside of where we are, you know? So like if it's here with us occasionally when we are communicating, some kind of opening occurs where we're able to communicate with it clearly, maybe the point of like having the rituals to clarify, that's what it was for me. It was to clarify the fact that was the thing I've been talking to my entire life since I can literally remember.
Yes.
And arguing with a lot a daily. Was that this? That is what this ritual is for me.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know that was because I pointed out what
you did.
What I thought it was.
Yep.
But then so
and it came back up again.
Oh, but I tested my knowledge and conversation conjuration out on you first.
What do you mean?
Like the procedure that I used to get in touch with my personal daemon.
Yeah,
I had you do it first.
The guinea pig. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That it went me first. I was first.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And then you had the direct conversation with it. So, I mean, that's where the rituals come in handy. It's that you can like actually speak to it and
well you could prepare what words, you're doing is you're preparing you yourself know? To do that like you're setting that attention.
But then when you're outside of the ritual then it's like it's the thing in your head.
So exactly so that's know? It so I did that ritual so that I could try to meet up with this thing and see if it's the same thing that I you know saw before right when I was 13 and then again when I died and lo and behold it was and I wasn't surprised. I was a little surprised but not really. It was a little trippy, you know? And yeah, that was a direct, like face to face. Right. But outside of that on the daily, it is still just that nagging voice in your head that's telling you stuff that you don't like.
Yeah.
Or trying to get you to do things that are good for you that you definitely don't like. You know, like,
well, and then I think the benefit of the knowledge and the conversation too, is that before you have that knowledge and conversation, it's hard to, like, I can tell you this all day, right? But before you have that knowledge and conversation, it's really easy for that thing to get lost in the other mental processes.
Yeah, like, well, how does that work? Yeah, like,
My ability to discern between
yourself,
it and the noise in my head is a lot clearer now.
Right. Yeah, definitely. That was something that took my whole life to get to that point where I could tell the difference. And the other thing too is like, if you are somebody that's psychic, and so there's this, you know, this the spirit guides conversation, you know, everybody's like, I talk to my spirit guides all the time. Well, what do you mean? Like, I thought I never talked to spirit guides. Like, what are you talking about? Right. Yeah. I just talked to myself. I wasn't realizing that myself was my spirit.
Was your spirit guide?
But it was just one. I mean, maybe there's more, but like the one, you know, the one that's me. That's not multiple people.
I got a gang now.
I mean, you've had a gang forever.
I got a gang.
You've always had. I told you since I met you.
I got for the record,
I told him all the
Shadow
stuff
Wizard Money Gang.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Dollar bills. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I told you for the record, I said, when I first met you, I said, you got a lot of things following you.
Yeah.
Around.
No, but I understand what somebody's saying when they say spirit guides, you know.
I didn't.
Because it's like,
I thought it was like people, they were like they could see them and realize, like, you know, like they were standing right next to him, but no one else could see him. Like that vibe. So then I thought, what's wrong? Like, I don't have that. What's going on? So because of that, though, it left me with some doubt about, for many years, because before I knew what this was, and because of my Christian indoctrinated guilt and fear, I wasn't sure where the information I get was coming from. And I was told many times that it was coming from the devil.
Yeah.
All the time I hear
that.
I still get messages like
funny?
That. What?
You ever see me look at you funny?
I mean, all the time.
When I start like scowling at you when you're telling me something.
Yeah. Why?
No, because sometimes I'm trying to discern, like, where's she getting this from?
When I say something about you?
Yeah, it was like, this is a demon speaking.
Yeah, you have done that to me.
When I start scowling at you, and you're telling me some crazy shit, and I'm like, what demon is trying to lead me astray right now?
No, so yeah, I've had people say that, like, well, where do you get your information? We talk to your guys, and I'll be like,
it's hard not to think. I mean, that's a huge thing when,
it's all demons.
Dealing with magic, you know, because I'm constantly asking myself, you know, like, where does this information come from? Can I reconcile this information that I'm receiving from this thing?
Yeah.
Can I reconcile that with what I know to be true? Right. And it's a hard balance to strike because on one hand, you know, the world lies to you.
Yes.
And on the other hand, the spirits lie to you. And so discerning between what you know to be true, you know, spirits will tell you, you know, don't pay attention, don't pay attention to religion or whatever, you know, but then, you know, religion will tell you don't pay attention to spirits, you know, because they're lying to you. And like, I know in my heart that, you know, the goal is to be in God's will. Right.
Right.
I know that in my heart. Right. And so, well, the religion tries to pull me out of God's will in one direction. The spirits will try to pull me in God's will in another direction. So what is the truth? Right. What are the spirits telling me that is like helpful towards living in God's will?
Yeah.
And what is religion telling me that's helpful towards living in God's will? Because both sides of the spirit realm and the worldly realm, they're both, you know, they both have truth. They both lie.
Okay. So here's the thing that like when I died, like I was, one of the things that I came back with was that lying is not a thing.
Yeah.
Like you can't like when you can't in that form, you can't lie. But well, again,
misdirection.
Yeah.
Spirit, because no, I'm saying, have been like, taken lower ones, on sure. rides by spirits.
Sure.
Before.
Like the lower ones. Fine. But I'm saying like me, I can only speak for myself, I guess. But like, I understood that it would be pointless to lie. Maybe that, you know what? And I know now why.
Why?
I just heard why.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you can't lie. Everyone, quote unquote, knows when you're lying on the other side.
Yeah.
They can see right through you, literally. Literally.
Uh-huh.
They can only lie to people.
Oh, yeah.
Because we'll fall for it.
Yeah.
They can't do that elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
But then again, like if that's, but in the state of mind that I was in there, it would be like, why would you want to?
Yeah.
You know, everything's like great. Why would you do that? So I guess maybe they're just in a different realm, like, or something on that lower level, like in the, you know, in that book about the different levels that you come back in.
Oh, yes.
Coexisting with other levels, but they can only act and react in a certain level, right?
Yeah.
Like from that certain mind point, standpoint. So I don't know. But I feel like I've asked that. I've had people accuse me of being a bride of Satan.
The bride of Satan?
Oh, yeah. Like, damn, I get like, so on my YouTube, I get comments a lot, not as much anymore, but in the beginning I got a lot of comments about how like I needed Jesus or the devil was after my soul or some shit. And like, you know, I'd be like, thanks, but I'm good, dude. You know, thanks for looking out, but you're being a little alarmist here.
Yeah.
But because none of the information I get is hurtful. It's all helpful, I guess. Right. Yeah. So like, that's what they say. That's what my clients say. And people I read for, my friends and family, whatever.
Well, I see it. Yeah, I see you provide healing to people who are going through grief or who have hit rock bottom. It's like what is that? Is the person running around like telling people that, you know, the devil's after their soul? Is that person providing anybody healing? I don't think so.
Right.
And it's like, so if it's a demon. If it's a demon coming through you, it's like providing healing to people, then, you know, and then Jesus is the one that's running around sending people to hell, I guess, then maybe I'm on the demon's team.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's really odd, but like, I that's why I don't think that it's bad. I didn't think it was bad, but I would get accused of that all the time. And it scared me because I didn't know for sure, like, where it was coming from. Until
it's
we just
sad. It's like sad because it's like that. That's the thing that like it. It's such a hard. It's so obvious. It's in the flipping Bible. If you read that freaking book, you know, measure by the fruits. You know,
nobody reads the Bible,
and you try to explain this to people, and
they can't see past
it,
like this.
It's like the thing is like it. You know, you get possessed by something and it like comes out and then all of a sudden like a bunch of people that are in the darkest places in their life come out with peace and serenity. Then it's like, and then, you know, you have this person over here that's like, you're going to hell and you're the bride of Satan and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, there's just a bunch of terrified people right there. It's like, I choose the peace and serenity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
right. They don't see it. You know, they don't get
the
irony.
What are the fruits here?
Yeah.
What are the fruits
like,
here?
The fruits are that you're attacking people, taking time out of your day to email me and tell me I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
Like I could give up, by the way, I could give a fuck. So I just laugh at them in a screenshot. It's like, and send it to everybody.
It's like you have a choice. Like, you know, and it that's really the core of the issue there. It's like, choose what side you're on. The letters, like the name that you're giving it, the letters, that is a symbol, you know?
Right.
And it's like, you're putting like Jesus, you're taking that word that's supposed to mean something,
right?
Something incredibly mystical, and you're slapping it on a pile of steaming shit.
I knew it.
And like, why don't you come over here?
Yeah.
You know, like,
you smell real good.
Yeah,
like
it smells great over here. You know, and it's like, dude, it's like, I don't, you know. And it's hard. It's like, measure by the fruits. It's like, dude, like your fruit's made out of shit. It's made out of shit. Okay. And then we have the person over here that's like, you know, yeah, I can talk to the dead. I don't know how I do it. And there's a bunch of people getting peace and serenity out of that. And like, sorry, like the fruits over there look a lot nicer than this pile of crap
you have
over here.
And that's the thing
here.
Is like, I've
and
never,
this isn't against Christianity at all. It's against
no,
this, like,
people.
Yeah.
The people that are like this. Yes. Because it's not, Christianity is not based on that. Like it's,
no, it's not.
And like, it's based on ideas I that have been convoluted and lost.
Yeah. I hope anybody that's been listening to this podcast long enough.
No. They, yeah. We
yeah.
Have,
yeah. They can tell them.
It's like, it's not the, you know, religion itself, because that one is if you read it, you know, aside from the Old Testament, it's nice.
Aside from the Old Testament is my favorite.
Oh, of course, but it's not very nice.
That one's the most powerful. That's like one of the most powerful books
ever. It's just vengeful God. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
No, when you start like, and then you start like decoding it.
You go. Wait a minute.
And they're like, why, this is a book of,
why can you only have one God?
It's a living book.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Why can you only have one God if you're the only God? Huh. You know, like, why is that a problem for you in the Old Testament if there's no other gods?
They never said that.
No, you should put... Well, that's what the Christians say all the time. Is the only God is Jesus or whatever. Ooh. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just pretend like... I've asked people, you know, like, okay, if this is accurate, what about all the people that lived and died before Jesus? And you know their answer always is? Well, they didn't have souls.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. Wow.
Well, I think that was the point of all those people were the, pretty sure the doctrine behind it or the Christian understanding is that all those souls were in purgatory until.
I mean, how fair is that?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, you existed way before, but well, we're going to hold you here.
The necessity, like, if you're going to get into the mysticism and the gnosis behind it, the necessity of Christ being crucified was basically the necessity of these soul shards, these sparks of divinity to be saved. You know, there was a necessity for salvation because they were stuck here. And so that was like, that's what the mystery of the crucifixion is supposed to be representing. You know, it was that like all these pieces of divinity, which were people's souls, were stuck down here in the material. And so God had to come down as his son to get those things out.
See, there it is right there. Then God had to come down as his son to experience life as other, right?
Yeah. That's the, but that goes back to the Egyptian religion. Because the bull who fathered himself.
I mean, that's the whole thing is like, experiencing yourself through others.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's there too. It's everywhere. Gosh.
Yeah.
Today's been crazy. Magic wise, it's been nuts. And, I've been talking to my HGA, OG Anna for, all day.
Yeah.
She hasn't shut up.
Oh.
Telling me all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
About you.
About me? Yeah. That's not good.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. No, just stuff. It's crazy. Having a hard time focusing because I keep seeing it.
I know.
Over there.
Is she hot?
She looks like me, so.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Except. Yeah. Yeah, she's like, it's me. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's me. Sweet. There's two of me in this room right now.
Oh, that's awesome. I like
oh my
like
God, you're so doomed. We're going to be talking about couches and pillows and fucking curtains.
Oh, no, yeah. That she's like directing you in the home goods, you know? She's like, Anna, get off the, like, get out of the house. We got to go buy pillows, you know? Like,
yes. Yes. She was always like, Anna, buy the pillow.
Yeah.
Everyone will like it. Pillows were an issue.
Yeah.
They were really great, though, aren't they? You like them.
Yes. No, those are great pillows, for sure.
Oh, domesticated stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. No, but seriously, I've been, I don't know. And I do feel this, though. Like, I do feel like this. Ever since we did that. Okay, I will say this. All right, yeah. Ever since we did that ritual, didn't really do a ritual, right? We just did it.
No, we did. We did my patented.
Yeah. Okay.
My patented spirit conjuration ritual. Well, because we tied it to a planetary power.
Right.
Right. But that's just for the initial. That was just for the initial contact. That was just for the initial knowledge and conversation. I did an astrological rite that was like timed.
Yeah, that's right.
That it was timed against your birth chart and that kind of stuff. And that was for the initial conversation. And then now, ever since then, if we want to have like a conversation with it, we just go.
No, we just go.
Yeah. And I think the last time I had a conversation with mine, I just burned some incense and drew sigil. And that was the.
Yeah. I think. Okay. So like since then, before that, it was just that one time at 13. And then when I died, since then, it's been more than that. Like I've had interactions like many times since then. Like, so I think maybe it does ramp it up. Like maybe it's kind of like
it makes you, it makes you aware.
Opens that door, so that you can access it.
Yeah.
It's like a muscle, right? Like, you know, the more you use it, the stronger it gets.
Yeah, hopefully. You know? Yeah.
Hopefully what?
Oh, cool. Because I haven't.
Stop.
Talking to mine that much.
Oh my God, I'm going to smack you. I swear to God. It talks to you all day long, all the time through.
And I block
shit
it out.
Like happens the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That. I don't know if that was. I don't know if that was a product of starting a new initiation or if it was my guardian.
What?
Or it could have been a confluence of the two.
How is it separate? It can't be separate. And
well,
it can't
Well, no, I'm appealing to a god.
Yeah,
for
but
my
that's
initiation.
Also you.
No, like, not big G. I mean, like,
it's
an Egyptian deity. Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's convoluted, man. It's convoluted.
It's convoluted.
It is. Magic is convoluted. All this is, because we're programmed our whole lives that, you know, again, you got to go through the church to talk to these things, right? I guess priests can do it, but we can't, right?
Yeah.
Or we're like necromancers.
Maybe.
Right? Yeah.
I'm not a necromancer. I don't talk to the dead.
What?
I don't talk to the dead.
Okay.
When did I do that? That's fine.
I
we don't need to go into that.
Okay. We won't then. But yeah, no, this is something, I guess, I don't think that this is going to be done the first decade that you're in.
What?
Practicing, probably.
The knowledge and conversation?
Yeah.
I think you can. I think.
You are you.
I think people. Yeah, I think make an honest appeal. I mean, like, really, the trick to magic, and this is what, like I'm always... So, with you, you're always railing about, like, you know, you don't need all the stuff. You know, you don't need the tools, you don't need the systems, and that kind of stuff. Me, like, my version of that is you can do anything, just ask. Like, as long as you ask from a sincere place, if you ask... It will happen.
Right. You know, I mean, you got to be Delulu, man.
Enter into a state of catharsis, of release, empty yourself, become receptive, and in that catharsis, make your appeal, right?
Sure.
And that is like a heartfelt prayer, you know?
Right.
A heartfelt prayer. Make an appeal, you do that, and, you know, it's going to happen.
At some point.
Yeah.
At some point, right? I mean,
I think it'll happen over. I think
if you're,
the longest you'll wait is a year. Okay. I'm gonna say that.
Yeah, once you get
my
there.
Wizardly instinct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see.
If you can do the appeal, and that's the thing. I feel like a lot of people. I feel like people need to be taught how to pray that way. Pray from catharsis. Because that can be a difficult one.
Okay, so, are you telling me? Oh God! Telling me that that's the only time I pray.
That's the only time foxhole prayers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I think people that have gone through
some trauma,
real fucking
shit man.
know how to do cathartic prayer.
Yeah, but if you're a charmed life liver, you know, then you might need
help. If prayer to you is like, you know, just getting on your knees and saying some half-assed words to God or whatever, that's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. You know, I mean, I do that kind of prayer too, that the half-assed, like, you know, like real quick, like throw up and give thanks, right? But the cathartic prayer
is the one
where you're like emptying yourself and
you're like pleading and like begging.
Yes. And you make that honest appeal. But yeah, just make that honest appeal. I want knowledge and conversation with my
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Guardian,
you know,
Diamond.
Put it, well, like, if it's offensive,
I like
to
Diamond,
you,
because I think HGA is just.
Yeah, if you know, that's the thing is, like, don't get attached to the labels too much.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing.
you know, personal daemon.
Yeah, it's
yeah. Just, so because so Socrates had a personal daemon mm-hmm. that he talked to all the time.
He didn't do all this Socrates, crazy shit.
Yeah. Plato had one. You know,
all the people
Amblicus
that
had one.
The people that had the insights that have carried on to now. The
great.
Were
geniuses.
The ones that were in touch with themselves on that level.
On that level. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where does genius come from, right?
Yeah. It's from the collective genius? Of yeah. you and you and you and you.
It's up there. So, yeah, wherever I that have is, yeah. not used mine for creative inspiration yet.
What?
Not wow. used it for creative
That's
inspiration.
That's dangerous.
What?
That is.
Why is it dangerous? What, me?
Yeah.
Using it for creative inspiration?
Dude, I can't I imagine.
I make, I win like 7 Grammys.
Yeah. yeah. You could. It would be amazing.
I know. Well, I think I'm going to have to do an occult experiment where I'm like, all right, 9 months at the cabin, mobile studio set up, just me.
Yeah.
And the me and DJ HGA, dude. We're going to make the most. Yeah. It's going to be the hottest
remix
hottest
ever.
Dance record.
yeah, dude. Past for decade. It. Yeah. For it.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Dope. Yeah, dope. I'll have mine.
Yeah, I was just out in the woods making beats with my spirit homies. Came back with some purifier, you know?
Purifier?
No,
purifier.
Not going to do that.
That's your new one.
Yeah. And that's, so- yeah. The last time I used spirits for creative project, God, it was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. So I like to see how that turns out now. Well, that's not spirits, right?
But sure, music.
Yeah, music. I'm gonna say music because the last book I wrote was channeled from deity.
Yeah, I know. So, I read it. Yeah. It's amazing.
So,
yeah. So we are.
All right. So, are we gonna call that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Guardian Daemon, HGA, that kind of stuff. Make an honest appeal if you haven't.
Higher self, also known as.
Got in touch with yours. Share in the comments what you feel comfortable sharing about.
You know.
What's this thing's attitude towards you?
Yeah, you're very curious.
I have a little bit of an argumentative relationship with mine.
Yeah.
What was your experience? How did you get in touch with it? Did you do the Abremelin? Did you do Lever Samek? You know, the tried and true methods, or was yours more
organic
through trauma, like Dr. Stone, or did you have like a did it come to you like it came to me?
Was it scary? Did it look like you? Did
let's
it
get
not?
Yeah, yeah. Like, give us the know. Details. We want to
We want to know we're not crazy.
We're not crazy, please.
Yeah. You know.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stone.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Discourse, where we venture into the mysteries of esotericism, the occult, and the depths of spiritual exploration. I am Abimon the Great, joined as always by Dr. Anna Stone, bringing adept insights to help guide your journey. Remember, the path of wisdom is illuminated by both knowledge and experience. Until next time, continue your exploration and stay attuned to the unseen.